Welcome to the Field Sales Leadership Guide podcast, where we discuss with experienced and successful sales leaders what works and what doesn't in the sales profession. Join us as we tap into high-performing sales leaders and their passion for field sales. We've lined up for you some of the smartest movers and shakers in sales leadership to share their formulas for success and the tricks of the trade. Join us as we pull back the curtain, giving you actionable insights and strategies that you can use with your sales team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Field Sales Leadership Guide podcast. I am very excited for this particular episode because JT is going to share some learnings from his recent series of ride-alongs. So a ride-along is where JT might go with a current customer or a prospect and ride along with one or two reps from that company and just get a feel for what it's like to live a day in the life. And then, of course, how Map My Customer is going to kind of fit in that day in the life. So when, after JT was done with this string of ride alongs, he came to me and we kind of debriefed and we found three overarching themes from these ride alongs. And what we found were these. So sales leaders might be giving poor KPIs to their outside sales reps. They might not understand how difficult it is to acquire new business in a territory. So this comes from maybe an old school company who is very steady and all of a sudden gives this initiative to their outside sales rep saying, we need new business in your territory, like go find it, right? And that process is actually a lot more difficult than it sounds. And then, of course, the theme that rings true, not only during JT's string of ride-alongs, but nearly every single prospect we talk to here at Map My Customers, and that is reps are just not using the systems that are in place. That might be a CRM, it might be spreadsheets, it might be any kind of sales enablement tool that's in your stack right now that reps just aren't using because it's not valuable. It's not easy to use. So let's dive in a little bit. We'll start with how is this affecting outside sales teams? So these big three themes: bad KPIs, really difficult to acquire new business for outside reps, and outside reps are not using the systems in place. So one of the effects of this is they're not getting the valuable data they need to make better decisions at the rep level, the manager level, and the leadership level. JT, take it away.
Yeah. So look, one of my favorite things to do is actual ride-alongs with, as Mary said, existing customers and prospects as we evaluate, can or should Map My Customers be a good partner for these specific companies. One of my favorite things to do is to provide a readout of this is what I saw. These are the obstacles in the way of making Brianna really, really successful in the field. This is what's giving her a nervous tick. Were you aware of this? Did you even know she had to do this? So I love doing that. And then obviously walking into the opportunity side of the coin as well. And before we answer Mary's first question here, I want to reiterate, outside sales reps have a very difficult job, like tons of administrative stuff that they're responsible for. This is your company's entire go-to-market engine revolves around the talent of these folks getting in, earning trust, building relationships, educating, driving awareness, and being so unbelievably trustworthy and consistent with those interactions that all of this stuff matters. So, I would encourage, as you hear some of these kind of three main themes that we're about to walk through, sit there and think about, like, does my team deal with that? Am I dealing with that, but I'm not addressing it? So your job as a sales leader is to figure out how to remove some of these obstacles that we're gonna highlight. So long-winded way to dive into this, but not getting valuable data to make better decisions. I'm going to start out with an example of, I did a ride-along, it was just over a month ago, and really, really talented outside sales rep has been in this particular industry serving car dealerships with a specific line of a product that I'm not able to go too in-depth with. But she's been in this territory in North and South Carolina for over 3 years. She's done a fantastic job of being known by her target accounts. And I'm using air quotes if you can't see us right now. And we're going to come back to those air quotes. Because those accounts have been assigned to this particular rep. And when I say assigned, this particular rep is held accountable for seeing all 79 of those accounts one time a month to go drive awareness, maintain or nurture the relationship, get an update on their business. And so where this falls down is that this particular outside sales reps, their leadership, three levels up in the readout that I provided, had no idea that half of these customers that she was seeing, well, target accounts, I should say, were not even in the ICP of the product that this particular company sells. Meaning, this poor outside sales rep was paying the activity tax of just rotely going and being obedient, saying, I need to visit them in person. I need to visit this one in person. I need to visit this one in person. When there was zero possibility of accounts going to sign on and becoming a customer. So case in point, their target profile or their target car dealership should have a selling point of cars on the lot at about the $20,000 and below price tag. She's got a ton of accounts that the lowest price on the lot of a car is $27,000 and above. So she's going and she's routinely wasting time, wasting money and expenses, seeing these accounts that could never actually become a customer because they're far outside the ideal customer profile.
Don't break my heart and tell me marketing sent her those leads, please.
No, so the sad thing is they've been assigned to her for 3 years straight.
Jeez.
And so it's somewhat shame on her for not saying, hey, they're never going to buy. It's really shame on leadership to continue to say, good job, way to go see them. Good job, way to go see them. Good job, way to go see them. Why aren't they buying? So they're thinking it's a skill set problem with the sales rep. It's actually a data problem and a coaching problem and a strategy problem because they're continuing to force her back to these accounts that will not become a customer. One, opportunity cost of wasted expenses. There's a huge morale hit knowing that as a rep, I'm going to continue to walk in and know that I'm not going to earn business. It's deflating. If I'm going to spend time away from my awesome wife and my awesome sons, I better go have a productive meeting that actually has a chance of driving revenue for the company and ultimately revenue for the Rimby family if I was the outside sales rep in that scenario. So ultimately, strategic coaching on ideal customer profile, she should be praised if she actually qualifies those accounts out. Like, they're not going to buy. I'm not going back there. I'm going to go spend my time on accounts that would fit our ideal customer profile. And that's just not happening right now.
Yeah, that's so interesting, JT. What I think is most interesting about that is you kind of touched on it a little bit. That's like the emotional toll of going to just continually visit those accounts on, like you already said it, like outside sales reps have an incredibly difficult job. The entire go-to-market strategy of the company kind of rests on their shoulders as like the boots on the ground. And they're just going and visiting accounts that will never help them or the company. So very interesting.
So I've probably given a little bit too much away with this particular use case, but I've done this long enough to know that there's a loss of trust in leadership when you're in one-on-ones with a manager and the manager's saying, you need to go back to this account. You need to go back to this account. When you know in your heart that like they can't become a customer, why am I going back to this account? So it boils down to spend time with the right accounts at the right time. And if you don't have the data to validate that or justify it, you're wasting not only marketing dollars, you're wasting emotional energy for your rep being deflated, spending time there, real time and energy of the opportunity cost of being on site with a customer that will never purchase or a prospect that will never purchase when they could be visiting somebody that falls within your ICP. So in terms of affecting it, you got to have something that qualifies in, and praise your team when they qualify out as well. That's just as important.
Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect. All right. So no KPIs, bad KPIs. We have wasted time, wasted expenses, wasted opportunity, emotional damage, hit to credibility, both on the rep side and the leadership side. So lots and lots of weight of having
nervous tics develop.
Poor KPIs.
Twitches.
Yes, exactly. Poor and bad KPIs. So just all around, not a great thing. And what I'd love to kind of touch on now, JT, is like what happens. So how does that rep track her time? So how does she track her activities now? Or what have you seen on the road? Like, it doesn't even have to be just that example. You can just go into how are all of these reps tracking activities across the board?
So the unique thing about these three use cases, all three of these specific examples are using either Salesforce, HubSpot, or Dynamics. And look, one of my favorite lines recently was from a very tenured SVP sales leader of about a $3 billion company. And it was one of my first calls with this gentleman. And he stopped me during my intro because I told him I was from Salesforce in terms of having worked at Salesforce in a prior life. And he said, whoa, if what you're about to show me is designed for desk jockeys, I want nothing of it. And so I kind of chuckled, and it really resonated with me because he understood that the largest CRMs in the world are not designed for the go-to-market strategy and responsibilities of outside sales reps. So that's the unique resounding theme of logging activity in a Salesforce, a HubSpot, or a Dynamics, just getting credit for, I visited today, and having that be the metric of success where your leader gives you an attaboy or an attagirl by visiting, not moving the needle towards revenue. That's sad.
Yep. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about the rep level and the leadership level. Let's talk a little bit about the manager, like the coach, the player coaching level. So when you have a system that doesn't work for the outside rep, so the outside rep is not logging essential data, and or they have bad KPIs, maybe because the rep isn't able to log essential data, what happens to the manager?
Yeah, so there's a couple of key things. And I'll give an example of a success story here at the close of this. But as a manager, you're flying blind. As a middle manager, that is one of the toughest jobs in the world. You got to have the respect of your team, where you need to add value and strategy to what they do on a tactical day-to-day basis. But you also have to accurately articulate up the food chain to who you report to around forecasting. What activity levels are your reps doing to actually drive revenue and build relationships and maintaining and protecting the current customer base? So very difficult position. If you're flying blind, the middle manager starts off one-on-ones with, what have you been up to? How are things looking this month? And you're literally just getting gut reactions from your reps. Now, reps might have a good thumb or a good pulse on their territory, but it's always gut and it's always feelings. It's not actual data. So without the data, you're guessing and you're kind of going like this as you're reporting those forecasting numbers up the chain. You know your fingers are crossed below the table going, yeah, I think we're in good shape for that number. And you're really just hoping. So without that data, you're left guessing.
Yeah, and it's not even an educated guess, right? Like, I mean, come on. JT and I are in marketing, sales, like software as a service. So like we have data, and like an educated guess is fine because you have the data to back it up. But to your point, JT, it's like when you're just flying blind and you're just like crossing your fingers, like hope for the best, like definitely issues there.
So let me provide a couple of points of success or advice, unsolicited advice, I guess. If you're in middle management, one, I'm hopeful that you're one of the sales leaders that says, I get great fulfillment when my team succeeds, or I love helping people. I love serving my team. I love removing obstacles that give my team a nervous tick. I love going to bat for my team. If any of those phrases ring true, continue doing ride-alongs. Look at data such as, I know that Brianna is really good interpersonally. She's a good rep. Why is it that she has visited these 25 accounts every month for the last 2 years, and not one of them has bought anything from us? That should be a glaring red light. If you're close to the skill sets of your reps, you should be able to look at data and go, something's wrong with this. I'm going to do a ride along for these 25 accounts, and I'm going to learn, why isn't she being successful there? And in the example I gave earlier, the car dealership one, the middle manager would literally go, oh my gosh, I'm making her go to the wrong accounts. Holy smokes. Forgive me, Brianna. I'm wasting your time, company resources. Let's redirect your time elsewhere. So the data matters. Look at it. A great example, it's our favorite accounts. It's Jasper. It's Jasper Engines. One of the things that they measure is 13 good calls a day. And that means that JT, the rep in North Carolina, is not just walking in and having a conversation with the receptionist at an auto shop. It's me speaking with the owner or the manager, somebody that has decision-making power that solidifies a relationship where I'm getting data and I'm getting more insight about their business. That qualifies it as a good conversation. What Jasper has used that for, if JT was getting my 16, 17 visits in a day, but all of a sudden I'm not getting to the decision maker, maybe I'm gravitating to the easy conversations of the receptionists, those who I know are going to go, JT, welcome back. Come on in. Here, grab a cup of coffee, pull up a chair. And so I think that I'm establishing a relationship, but a relationship absent the decision maker or moving value forward in a business relationship is just a relationship. It's just a friend. So they look at that data very closely to ensure that the OSRs at Jasper are building relationships with the right people in terms of meeting with decision makers.
Yeah. Love, love, love that. Okay. So we've talked bad KPIs. We've talked not using the systems in place. Let's dive into an interesting one that I was very surprised at during our debrief. And that is this new, perhaps new initiative to drive new business because you feel like your TAM is saturated or you've done all the business that you can. So now you're like, okay, outside rep, go find new customers.
Yeah. So this is, I don't think I fully appreciated how difficult it is for the pressure of new reps or not new reps, just any outside sales rep to find new business. And I'm going to give two different use cases here. But as I do, I want to qualify what I see this as. I'm going to do that later. I'm going to do two points here. One is a really large contact manufacturer. I did this ride along about 10 months ago. This is a multi-state territory serving eye doctors. You want to be blown away. Look, just Google how many eye doctors there are in the United States. There's tons of them. So this particular rep, it was actually a three-state territory, large Midwest account patch, thousands of eye doctors that this particular rep is responsible for. However, she was only assigned hundreds of them because the way that it was structured in their HubSpot instance is they had assigned accounts for this rep. They had house accounts that had at one point or another purchased from this large contact manufacturer, and then they had inside sales accounts. Well, for over 3 years, these house accounts are literally just this rotting pool of former customers that nobody is nurturing. And so we had this really talented outside rep who is unbelievably motivated, unbelievably organized, driving hundreds and hundreds of miles away from her home for 6 to 12 meetings across 2 days, that is just driving by house account, driving by house account, driving by house account, when all of those are rich, rich targets. So it's like, well, we used to know that there was a needle there, but we're no longer going to stop in the haystack because it, even though we know it's there. So we've blinded that particular rep from driving revenue because it wasn't assigned to her. So I think that's a very, very large process fail from leadership perspective, when instead of a 2-day trip, maybe she makes a 4-day trip, and instead of seeing 12, maybe she sees 30 to 40 accounts that are all warmed up to this particular large contact manufacturer. They know who she is. They certainly know the company. So just a really big whiff of an opportunity there for capturing total addressable market. It's example number one. This is the next one, and I was just on this ride-along less than a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. This is in the Midwest as well, and the reps are responsible for and incentivized, this is one of my favorite things, incentivized for finding new business. And I like it to them being on a scavenger hunt without like the clues of the map. They're driving through a haystack to find a needle, and this is how it goes. They're encouraged to have an anchor appointment in the morning, an anchor appointment in the afternoon, and then they just drive around looking for other like-minded customers that might fit in their ideal customer profile next to that anchor appointment. There's no ability for them to really dive in a proactive way. So they find these industrial parks and they just go block after block after block, meandering their way through, looking at signs. Oh, there's a metal shop. Maybe that'll be a good stop. And they walk in. And so from a nervous tick standpoint, I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. From an investment perspective, these are tenured reps. I did back-to-back ride-alongs. Both are in their early 60s. Both have tenures of 10 to 15 years with the company themselves. Very well knowledgeable of their product lines, their market. And they're literally driving through haystacks looking for needles versus having the ability to show the horse where the watering hole is. If we provided a way for efficiency, man, they could use their talents way more productively.
Nice. Love that, JT. Really good.
That was a diatribe.
I liked it. He is now stepping off of his soapbox, folks.
So, I'll probably get back on one.
Yeah, he's about to, because I'm going to introduce one of his favorite points. Okay, so we have these problems. We have kind of ways that companies are attempting to solve for these problems. And there seems to be two common threads. So when JT and I were debriefing, the common thread I found was there's no way to track the sales process if there's a process at all. So it could be twofold. You either don't have a process or you don't have a way to track that process. So this plastics manufacturer that JT just mentioned, who had the anchor appointments and then just drove around industrial parks, that's technically a process. I mean, that's a day-to-day process that the rep has, but no one's tracking it. There's no stages. So you have no idea whether or not the process is efficient. So they're missing out on this massive total addressable market because they just have reps individually driving around. There's no like real system in place to track it. And, you know, I love that JT said driving through a haystack to find a needle, but there's no tool to help them drive through the haystack. So they're just kind of flying blind a little bit. So, and that goes back to the car dealership example you had too, which is, hey, she has a process in place. She has to visit these 79 accounts once a month, no matter what. But there was no system in place to track that process. So because they weren't able to track it, they're not able to improve it.
So I entirely agree. I would add one thing that like the common thread among those three examples, minus Jasper, Dynamics, Salesforce, and HubSpot, they're attempting to track what they think is a productive go-to-market strategy. But the problem is that those platforms are not equipping their reps to efficiently and effectively drive revenue. And so if you don't have a tool or a platform that effectively or efficiently drives revenue, it's also not effective or efficient to get data back in to illuminate, hey, the process that we have in place needs tweaked. It needs adjusted. So it's got to be easy for the rep not only to point them to the right direction, but also say, that account's not qualified. I'm going over here to spend my time with to be efficient so that I can be successful.
Yep, love that. All right, so let's wrap it up, JT. This was an awesome conversation. So the way that I see it, so I'll hit on my hypothesis first. You can hit on yours second. So this process tracking, it's like a manufacturing line. So a lot of our customers are manufacturers or distributors, so they know the manufacturing process really well. I come from manufacturing, so I am also biased. But manufacturers have a very specific process to manufacture a product. And you can think of your sales process the same way, is it should have very specific stages, and you should have data you're tracking or KPIs for each stage. Because what happens when a manufacturing line has an input, so that might be raw material, you know, whatever that might be, and you get an output, and that's a final product. Now imagine this manufacturing line has no stages. It has nothing that they're tracking in between input and output. What happens when the outputs start failing? So what happens when they're not producing as much as they should? All of a sudden there's defects in the product. There is nothing for them to go back to and say, hey, this is where the process failed. All they can say is, I don't know, like, let's just start tweaking and see if it gets the product output back to where it once was. So that's what your sales process is now, if you don't have one that you're tracking, is it's a manufacturing process with nothing to point back to in order to improve it, especially if it starts failing.
Yeah, I like that example a ton. I always get jealous of the folks that can just come up with an analogy on the spot. Mary, you can probably attest to this, but Ben, our CEO just comes up with like the weirdest, most accurate analogies on the spot. Just a very quick thinker. So I've always been envious of his ability to do that. I liken it back. So years ago, I used to be a pretty decent golfer. And all through high school, I only worked on one thing at the driving range, and that was always the driver. My coach would always check in, JT, are you practicing? Are you practicing? Yeah, coach, I'm practicing. But I wasn't practicing short game, wasn't practicing putting, chipping, pitching, bunker play, short irons, certainly never practiced mid irons. And so I kind of liken that to this scenario where a middle manager is saying, oh, you visited all 79 accounts. Good job. The results are going to come when they're practicing the wrong thing. So if you only hit driver, which is one shot per hole, and you've got a lot of other shots to get the ball in the hole, I got to spend time doing the right things at the right time with the right clubs. And so spending time with the right accounts that could actually become a customer requires data. You can't be an effective manager coaching your team without some level of data. You can't be an effective manager if you're not getting that feedback in a really easy way from your team to let them know that you care about their success and actually be a strategic manager pointing them in the right direction. So I don't know whether that analogy made sense. It does in my head. I don't know whether I articulated it well or not, though.
You definitely did. I thought it was fantastic.
All right.
Much more personal than my like very dry manufacturing.
Good work.
All right. Folks, thank you so much. As always, if you have questions about today's episode, you want to get started tracking your process, we have a lot of connections. We've interviewed a lot of guests on this podcast talking about how they've slowly developed a sales process over time. Please reach out to JT or me on LinkedIn. I'll put our link to profiles in the show notes, and we will look forward to another episode next month of the Field Sales Leadership Guide podcast. Thanks, JT.
Thanks, Mary. Bye, everybody. Bye.